Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
The long-anticipated move of Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown to Western Regional off-track betting is moving closer after the OTB board offered a contract, or rather approved the contract offer for Brown. The deal that includes a $295,000 salary is being blasted in a number of quarters. Assemblymember Monica Wallace blasted the move in a statement saying the compensation is higher than the salary for the Vice President of the United States. It is also higher than OTB's, quote, total allocation of revenue to 8 of the 15 counties it serves. Longtime critics of the Brown administration, Our City Action Buffalo, also released a statement calling it a, quote, unquote, slap in the face to working Buffalonians who are trying to make ends meet. Brown still needs to officially accept the offer and resign from office. Once that occurs, and following the city charter, Council President Chris Scanlon would become acting mayor. In commenting to WBFO, Scanlon said he was excited about the possibility, but was non-committal over whether he would run for the next mayoral election.
There's a lot of challenges facing the city of Buffalo that I'm viewing as opportunities to take the city to the next level. So once we get through the initial rush of assuming those responsibilities and early next year, we'll take a look at it.
And there is a political change happening in Chautauqua County, where former Jamestown Councilmember Tamara Dickey will fill a vacancy on the county legislature. Republican legislators say they want answers from Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick regarding an appointment to his office. The controversy over Deputy Comptroller of Audit Mary Hostler emerged from a recent state audit that reviewed financial issues in the town of Evans while Hostler served as town supervisor. Among the findings was a $6,000 payment to Hostler for opting out of the town's health insurance, an option the audit says was not made available to other town employees. Republican legislators say they have sent a letter to Hardwick seeking a response. Hostler was appointed to the comptroller's office in 2022. The Seneca Nation of Indians will receive $315,000 in federal funds for a program that supports victims of crime. According to Congressman Nick Langworthy, the funding from the Department of Justice's Office for Victims of Crime will support critical services while, quote, reflecting the values and traditions of the Seneca Nation. In a release statement, Langworthy said, quote, too often tribal communities are left without the resources needed to protect the most vulnerable. And a wake and funeral will take place today at Niagara Square as public health advocates continue to call for a ban on menthol cigarettes in the city of Buffalo. The demonstration is part of an exhaustive effort to highlight the adverse impact menthol tobacco has had on minority communities. The group No Menthol Buffalo has been calling on Mayor Byron Brown and the Common Council to end the sale of menthol-flavored tobacco in the city of Buffalo.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying grifts find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
The Buffalo Sabres have named their next captain. Friday Night Lights returns to its roots, and the Bills are in Baltimore for Sunday Night Football. I'm Jack Cruiser. This is The Scoreboard for Friday, September 27th. The Buffalo Sabres made a major announcement on Thursday. While in Europe preparing for the NHL's Global Series, the Sabres proclaimed Rasmus Dahlin as their next captain. The former first overall pick in 2018 has spent the last 6 years in blue and gold and is on pace to play in his 500th NHL game this season. The Sabres open the campaign against New Jersey next Friday afternoon. Tonight, I'll be in Franklinville with the Friday Night Lights crew for a small-town showdown as the Clymer Sherman Panama Wolfpack take on the Franklinville Ellicottville Titans. CSP has turned their program into a powerhouse, winning two Class D state championships since merging in 2015. The Wolfpack bring experience and a winning culture to the field under Ty Harper, who has been the head coach since the program's inception. Entering tonight with a 2-1 record, CSP's only loss this season was in week one when they took a road trip to Waverly, New York. The Wolfpack fell to last season's state champion Wolverines 24-3 in the season opener. Franklinville Ellicottville has also become a success story since merging in 2014, appearing in 8 of the last 10 sectional championship games. With first-year head coach Justin Tatlow, the Titans have started this season with a handful of tests. After defeating Cleveland Hill 35-24 in the season opener, the Titans lost to Class C's Maritime Tapestry by 4. With a boatload of size, Franklinville Ellicottville intimidates opponents from the second they step onto the field for warm-ups. Friday Night Lights is live tonight at 7 p.m. on WBFO and WNED Create. Sunday night will be the fifth time the Buffalo Bills take on Baltimore in the Josh Allen era, with a split 2-2 record versus the Ravens thus far. The Bills are one of five teams who have yet to lose this season, mostly due to Buffalo's offense, which leads the league in points scored. Ever since halftime of Week 1, the Bills have displayed poise the likes of which the conference hasn't seen in a decade. A different Bill has been named an AFC Player of the Week for each of the first three games this season. Greg Rousseau took the defensive honor in Week 1, with James Cook and Josh Allen receiving the offensive recognition the last 2 weeks. Feel free to stump your friends with this one. The last AFC team to open the season with three straight Players of the Week was 2013 with Peyton Manning and Trindon Holliday of the Denver Broncos. That team went on to lose in Super Bowl 48. Back to this week's matchup. The Ravens are 1-2, playing in three very close games to open the season. Versus the Chiefs and Raiders, the first 2 weeks, Baltimore was primarily an air attack, with two-time league MVP Lamar Jackson throwing for an average of 38 passes per game, both losses. Then, in Dallas last week, the Ravens switched up their attack, going with a ground and pound, as Jackson only attempted 15 passes in their 3-point win over the Cowboys. Newly acquired running back Derrick Henry rushed for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns in the win last week, something the Bills will be sure to key into on Sunday. In their previous 5 run-ins, Buffalo has kept the powerful Henry to under 100 yards all but once in his time with Tennessee. The last time Buffalo and Baltimore faced off was in 2022 in the Monumental City, when Buffalo erased a 20-3 second-half deficit, ending with Tyler Bass drilling the game-winning field goal. The Bills didn't lead once until that kick, which came as time expired in the fourth quarter, giving Buffalo the 23-20 win. In that game, Buffalo's defense and Jordan Poyer at the time picked off Lamar Jackson twice, while Josh Allen was Superman, totaling over 280 all-purpose yards. But both teams are almost entirely different now, with this week's outcome likely to be determined by how well the Bills can shut down Baltimore's rushing attack and whether or not Allen and the offense can continue their impressive start. James Cook likely won't be the key for Buffalo this week, as the Ravens have held their opponents to a league-leading 50 rushing yards per game. We will find out if the Bills can remain undefeated on Sunday night, with kickoff just after 8 p.m. in Baltimore.
For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Anthony Chase.
And I'm Peter Hall.
And, well, we pick up where we left off. Such a busy period of time, the opening of the season, one show after another.
Yes, there are so many shows available that I know a couple of members of the Arctic Committee, for one reason or another, have tripled up in one day, 3 shows. Now, that's dedication, folks.
Well, I did manage to finish off the first round of shows and to see Some Like It Hot at Shays, which plays through this weekend. Really delightful. And head down to New York City. So I finished up with, I did see Shipwrecked, the Don Margulis play down at the Road Less Traveled Theater, which you had seen as well, and Ujima, where I saw The African Company Presents Richard III. Nice production.
Good productions all around. Let's talk about Shipwrecked for a moment. It was decidedly different. They give you a handbill at first talking about these toy theaters, miniature theaters, where young men usually would put on little plays at home. Fascinating. And I never heard about these. And the stage itself was made to look like one of these miniature theaters. Great Victorian set. I loved it.
Well, places where we play pretend, the whole issue of the play, this man who claims to have had spectacular adventures over a 30-year period, but ultimately turns out probably to be a fraud. And it's beautifully performed. Margulis is known for playing with the blurring line between reality and fantasy, the issue of creating your own identity. this one done more purely for comedy than we've seen in stories like Sight Unseen, Collected Stories, The Country House. He had been one of the American theater masters down at the Roadless Travel Theater, and they have continued their devotion to him. This play is not his strongest play. It is delightful in its way, and it's impeccably performed by Greg Jurich, Jeremy Kruser, and Gabriella McKinley, doing a beautiful job.
So afterwards, I said something akin to what you just said. You know, not his strongest work, whatever. And my wife came back with, does every play have to have depth and meaning and a powerful message? Can't a play just be entertaining?
There is room for that. It is a comedy. Interestingly, seeing McNeil by Ayad Akhtar, and it is starring Robert Downey Jr., his Broadway debut. And as I was watching it, I thought, this is like a Donald Margulis play. This is a play about a man creating his own public identity. This is about the blurring of fiction and reality. A good performance by Robert Downey Jr., an amazing Michael Jurgen set. That's done at Lincoln Center. I kind of think Margulis might have ended it more tidily, but I do like Ayad Akhtar.
Shipwreck, the good news is it carries on well into mid-October with a fabulous cast. Greg Jurich as Rougemont, who spent his life supposedly lost in the islands for years. Jeremy Kruser and Gabriella McKinley, two wonderful actors, play a huge variety of roles. And the stage management is so crisp. It is highly entertaining.
It's like a little wind-up box, just plays out that show. The Avron Company presents Richard III. It's based on real-life account in the 1820s, the African Groves Theater in New York City, getting shut down by a powerful, socially connected white company also doing Richard III. Powerful tale of what our rights are and just the whole sense of our dignity as human beings.
Yes. Ujima Kami, right out of the gate with what looks to be an incredibly strong season. And Curtis Lovell, there, Ujima's new artistic director, man, has set up a wonderful season. And the actress on stage, Anika Pace and Brian Brown, what a dynamic couple.
Yeah, I wouldn't ignore the work of Johnny Rowe or Gerald Ramsey either.
And yes.
I think that Curtis has done a beautiful job. Hurry on over there. Oh, I want to mention, I hear you had a fabulous trip to My Fair Lady, the Shaw Festival. Everyone had a wonderful time, gorgeous production.
Yes, we did. And it is all of that, strong performances.
Well, these trips that Buffalo, Toronto, Public Media, the theater trips, there's also the upcoming Broadway trip in January. I got to go last year and it was fabulous. And this year, Sylvia is going, and Sylvia Bennett is the vice president here. So I loved that this signaled to me, Buffalo, Toronto, Public Media, and our continued commitment to the arts and the theater, most important to me, but the trip looks fabulous. They're going to see Swept Away, Sunset Boulevard, Hell's Kitchen, The Outsiders, The Great Gatsby, and it's going to be terrific. So people, if you're interested to do a trip like that, I can tell you from experience, it's going to be wonderful, and you should take a look at that. And not for nothing, Sylvie's a lot of fun. So for Theater Talk on WBFO,
I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.